You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and I'm so delighted to have back with us James Hipkin, who's going to be sharing some insights on websites, web design, although really what we're talking about is the content of the site. But I think look at the site as well is somewhat important. So think about the last time that you went out looking to solve a problem you had. Maybe you needed to, you know, buy a piece of equipment. You needed to, you know, get something that fit perfectly in a certain place in your house. And you jumped online and you started, Googling, and you landed on a website that just didn't seem to answer the question that you had in mind, right? You got to this website and it started telling you about the ingredients or the mechanisms inside the thing. And you just wanted to know, well, is this for me? Does it fit in the spot in my house I need it to? How come this website won't tell me what I need to know? Well, that there's a disconnect there. There's a way that those companies could solve that disconnect. And that's what we're going to discuss today. James, welcome back.
Hey, David. I'm so happy to be here. It's such a joy to talk to you.
Indeed. So, all right. I painted this picture and I kind of had the concept, right? I sort of fumbled through the example a little bit, but this is an example that I think hopefully people will recognize to one extent or another.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. As we audit websites, and we do this all the time, it's what we do, it's what our business does. We build websites. So we audit websites. It's the most common mistake that I see. I call it inside out copy, where they're talking about themselves. They're talking about their features, their attributes, and all the wonderful things that they do. And they're assuming that the consumer will figure out how that fits into their problem. But the reality is that consumers don't think that way. They're on a journey, and their journey is on the outside coming back in. And if you want to really generate sales efficiently, then you need to support that journey. And if you do support that journey, then your sales messaging stops being salesy and starts being supportive and relationship building. And, you know, a quick story from back in my early career, I did a lot of loyalty work and relationship marketing work in the long distance telephone world back in the 90s. This is back during the long distance wars when AT&T was sending checks to people and MCI had friends and family and Sprint had various things going on with pins dropping and whatnot. I mean, Sprint was a classic example. They were talking about their pin drop, which was a feature, an attribute, right? Mm-hmm. They had high quality net cable in the ground. Big deal, yeah. Right? And so what happened was, I was sitting in a meeting listening to a researcher talking about loyalty, and he said in his experience, 90% of loyalty problems can be traced to a flawed sales process. Hmm. And that's what got me thinking about this whole thing around, well, what is the sales process and why is it flawed? And, you know, how does what we're doing fit into the journey that the customer is taking in their mind? And it had a profound impact on what we did in that situation and what I've done subsequently in many other situations. It's not a blinding insight. It's pretty much common sense, but people don't do it. And I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference. If you can design your website so that when people land on the website, the first thing they see is a clear statement that they can relate to that talks about their problem.
Yeah.
Then you're supporting their journey. You know, there's an acronym that it gets used called PASS. Problem, state the problem, agitate the problem, then solve the problem. But that order is very important. And that's because that order supports the journey that the customer is coming from the outside in versus, you know, and then all of your features and attributes and the things that are powerful about your product become reasons to believe.
I want to jump back to this point that you made, and then we'll continue along this line. But you said something really interesting about the flawed sales process, and immediately in my mind, I was actually thinking about the salesman experience, mm-hmm. getting in front of somebody who is trying to convince you to make a purchase, right. and there are, you know, salespeople who do exactly what you're describing a well constructed website can do. And then there are the salespeople who either bully you into making a purchase that you're really not comfortable with, right? Well, that's going to adversely affect loyalty. And then there's people who confuse you by focusing on the wrong things, which is the other example of what we've been talking about. Yep. And either you buy out of frustration or you don't buy at all.
Right. Or they frighten you into buying.
Mm.
Okay. Or they bribe you into buying. These are all techniques that get used and they work and to a degree, but they don't build any kind of long-term relationship with customers. And the reality is it's that the value is in that long-term relationship. The value is in not because the first purchase is not the most important purchase. The second purchase is the most important purchase because when they buy a second time, the chances they'll buy a third time are exponentially improved. And loyal customers, I mean, they're so important. I've done work with large credit card companies like Visa, for example. I've done work with banks. I've seen the power that loyal customers can drive in terms of their contribution to revenue. I mean, a loyal customer builds revenue five ways. This was originally documented in an older book called The Loyalty Effect by a guy named Reichheld. He was a Bain consultant. Okay. I'm not claiming, you know, I originated these ideas, but they're super, super valid. I mean, the longer a customer stays with you, the more return you have on the investment required to acquire them in the first place.
Yeah.
The longer the customer stays with you, the better they understand the product or service you're using, lower support costs. The longer the customer stays with you, the more likely they are to buy more products and services from you. The longer the customer stays with you, the better they understand your value proposition. You don't have to bribe them to keep them in business with you. And finally, the loyal customers advocate for you, right? They'll tell their friends about what you're doing, which is the most cost-effective form of marketing out there. So A small increase in loyalty in a customer base will have a hugely disproportionate impact on the net present value of that customer base, like from 20% to over 100%, just by keeping your best customers longer. So it's the sales process is where this all starts. And it's vital that businesses recognize this and, you know, become a supportive partner with their customers on their journey rather than all those other techniques that we just talked about.
I love this concept. We often think about, and I think if anybody who's listening is an employer, right, one of statistics in that space in terms of employee retention, which is very similar to customer retention.
Sure it is.
Is solid onboarding. Successful onboarding.
Right.
And so it's really the initial experience
right.
that you have that is so critically important, which is what you're trying to focus on in this argument, but also it sounds like you have a solution when it comes to how to position a business through their web presence or their website specifically,
right,
to be able to develop that relationship, which turns into loyalty. So you want to sort of walk us through a little bit of that?
Sure. I mean, when we first talked a few months ago, we talked about the hub and spoke strategy. And the concept there is that the website, which is your most valuable digital asset, it's the most valuable digital asset that you own. Your email list is the other one. The rest of it's rented space, rented land. On the website, when people come in and they've made that purchase, interest is a bell curve. Their interest doesn't vanish as soon as they make that purchase. They're looking for confirmation that you value their business. They're looking for recognition that, you know, you're there for them and that you're supporting what they're trying to do. They're very open to that. They're also very open to the competitive messages that they're hearing, because that, you know, did I make the right decision here? Mm-hmm. So that's your immediately post-purchase, the onboarding that you quite rightly called out. That's the chance where you've got to move the relationship from being a product with a name and start creating relationship equity, which is value that goes beyond the functional and transactional benefits of the product. And that relationship equity is what creates a brand. There's a lot of brands that are actually products with names. They really aren't brands. Mm-hmm. A true brand, there's a relationship equity that exists where the consumer thinks about this is a real fantastic service for me. And yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but my God, they're always there for me. They're giving me more information, and there's, you know, for example, an onboarding email might, you know, list five or six different ways that you can use the product or service, and then offer an opportunity for the customer to, hey, if you're not sure, here's a 800 number. It goes, there's no queue, goes directly to a support person. You're important to us. Now, the financial people in this world will go, oh my God, no, you can't do that, right? But the payback, the return on keeping those customers and establishing that relationship is massive. I mean, when we did the program for Sprint Long Distance over the course of a five-year period, the last 4 years of that five-year period, we were generating 20% annual growth rate on a $2 billion base of business, and they never changed market share. Hmm.
I love this. I want to push back on one thing I heard you say, and it just came out, and you went right by it. But you said that the consumer might be thinking, sure, it's a little bit more expensive, but, and I think that, and I'm curious to hear your reaction to this comment. If a business is doing this properly, the consumer isn't thinking about the price at all. It's irrelevant.
You're right. You're right. They've moved. They see the value. They understand the value. I mean, they're prepared to pay the full price because the value is there for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see this over and over again, and it's about creating that value relationship. People use interpersonal relationships as a simile for what we're talking about. This is a commercial relationship. But the what you're looking for at the transaction stage is a mutual exchange of value. And that gets lost, right? I've got their money. We're done. Mm-hmm. That's not a mutual exchange of value. If you go in and you talk about their problem, you know, their first interaction with you is you're talking about their problem. Ah, they get me. They understand what I'm trying to do here. And then you support that, you offer a solution, you provide rational support for that solution that you're proposing. Those are the reasons to believe. Okay, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to sign up. right? So they purchase the product, and then you immediately come back to them with, you know, thank you, we really value your business. And, you know, here are four ways or five ways that you can use this product or service that you may not have thought of. You know, and if you have any questions, you know, please feel free to contact us. And here's here's a special hotline just for our customers. And because, you know, one of the things about customers, one of the relationship marketing principles is good customers expect to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say bribed, rewarded. And that's how you, during that period of time, post first purchase, is when you have this huge opportunity to establish that relationship. People don't do it. If you do it, the payoff is massive.
Yeah. We often will talk about this. We refer to it as ease of transition from prospect to buyer to customer. Mm-hmm. And the concept, to extend it a little bit further, is not only do you over-deliver in the very first moments after they say yes, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like, but that as part of the process too, you preempt buyer's remorse, right? Mm-hmm. You do something that makes them go, wow, I knew I was getting this, but I didn't realize I was getting all of this too. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And that's the old confirm that they've made a good choice. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a very subtle piece of this that, you know, in the hub and spoke strategy, there's the website is the hub, and the spokes are the various digital channels that you're using to communicate. And the rim is your content and messaging strategy. We spend a lot of time talking about the hub. We spend a lot of time talking about the spokes, but we don't spend nearly enough time talking about the rim. That content messaging strategy, there's a subtle shift that should happen between your advertising and prospect marketing and the tonality and the presentation that you make there versus the content and messaging strategy that you're using with customers. Your customers have a relationship with you, or at least they're open to having a relationship with you. But if you keep talking to them like they're like part of the great unwashed out there, that's not having a relationship with them, right? If there's language and posture and presentation that is perfectly acceptable on a first date, mm-hmm. right? If you talk to your girlfriend or your spouse the same way 6 months into the relationship, you'll get your face slapped. But marketers do it all the time. They talk to their customers with exactly the same tone of voice as they're talking to their prospects. They use the same language. They use the same promotional materials. It's a subtle shift, but it's important because it sends a message to your customers that you value them and that you're in it with them.
So I want to apply some practical examples to the theory that you're sharing, because I can envision, you know, ways that you can do all of these things, like mm-hmm. talking about getting somebody to opt into an email list, and there's an educational sort of tone in and content there. And then once they're a customer, well, you want to shift the language to them being an insider. Right. And that you now have established a new relationship. And so that's the stuff you're talking about.
That's the stuff I'm talking about.
Can we step back to the initial concept that you shared with us of the journey the buyer's on, or what mm-hmm. we yep. refer to as the buyer's journey? And maybe if there's a project that you folks at Innately have worked on with a client in terms of web content or something that can sort sure. of give an example of what we've been talking about.
Right. I've got a couple of examples. One is a guy who was a New York State Senator, and he didn't get reelected. And he was a lawyer. And so he put out his shingle and said, I am a lobbyist, and I can, you know, I have all this experience of these years in the legislature. I understand the New York state law, wrote some of them, you know, it very qualified to do what he's doing. He wasn't getting any traction. So he heard about us through one of our other customers, and he reached out to us, and I sat and I reviewed his existing website. And I'm like, Craig, it's all inside out. You're talking about yourself. And he said, well, that's who they're hiring. He said, yes, I know, but that's, you're jumping the gun here. They're on a journey. The reason they got to your website is because they heard about you through some word of mouth or something you posted on LinkedIn or something. They went to your website for confirmation. And the thing they're trying to confirm is that you understand their problem. Then your credentials are important because they provide reasons to believe that your proposed solution is reasonable. But that order, that work, that supports their journey versus, hi, my name is, your place or mine.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. Didn't work when I was young. It's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for marketing. People do it all the time. I don't know why they keep banging away at this idea, no pun intended. But you know that you have to support that journey. And when we did, and then in January, Craig called me up and said, hey, the website's a couple of years old. Do you think we need to refresh it? And I'm like, so how's your business? He said, I can't get the phone to stop ringing. I said, no, I think we should probably just leave it alone. It's doing the job for you. And that's a mistake that I see. Another mistake that I see, there's the inside out versus outside in. But the other one is misunderstanding the primary objective of the website. The knee-jerk reaction from most people is, well, it's conversion,
mm-hmm.
right? I need to get leads. Okay. That's wrong in the vast majority of cases. If you're generating seven figures in traffic to your website every day organically, then sure, conversion is a great thing. If you're an e-commerce website and you're getting that kind of traffic, then absolutely. But that isn't most businesses. Most businesses are getting, particularly professional services, are getting their business from word of mouth and referrals. And the first thing that executive does, hears about, executive A tells executive B about this great CPA. And so the executive B goes to the CPA's website to find out, okay, do these people understand my problem? And they get a whole lot of you know, old white guys in blue suits staring out from pictures, talking about their credentials. And he's like, and they leave. And you can't see that null set. You can't see all the people that went to your website for confirmation and didn't get it.
Well, no, you can. There are analytics tools that will help you realize that that sort of thing is happening. But right. Yes, that's a very, you know, common practice. And I bet anybody listening will can think about all the dozens of sites that they do this on all the time.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And so that if you think about it, if my primary objective is confirmation versus conversion, conversion is still part of the mix, but my primary number one goal is confirmation. That fits into the journey. That supports the customer's journey. That recognizes how people shop. And this happens. You can't break this rule. I mean, it can happen quickly, but the more important the decision, and when I say important, you insert expensive, you know, the more higher the dollar value, et cetera, the more elongated this process becomes. But it's always there. They go through consideration. What are my choices? What are my options? They go into prospecting. I need to make a choice. They make that first picked purchase. Then they're, okay, was this a good idea? The buyer's remorse that you mentioned. They go through this journey. And it's super important to recognize this journey. And what's funny, people will call me up and want to talk to me about websites. And I'll spend 30 minutes talking to them about everything but their website. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have this stuff sorted out, the best website in the world's not going to work. You know, I pretty websites. I love auditing pretty websites. I mean, they spent thousands of dollars with a designer and they've got something that is, oh my God, it's aesthetically so pleasing. And I say to the business owner, okay, so what am I supposed to do when I get here?
Yeah.
That's not clear.
There's two things that I will often, by the way, I don't design websites. I've dabbled in it. I was one of those people who, you know, probably pops up. I actually never solicited anybody in a Facebook group saying I can build you a website, but you know, people would come to me and say, David, you probably know how to do this stuff. So that's the extent of my like website build. But the thing that's that you talk about here, I will often refer to in a couple of ways. First is when somebody arrives on the website that there's a confirmation that they're in the right place. That's the very first thing that I want to make sure of. And so the question that you raise where you're not even talking about the website probably is trying to figure out, well, what do these prospects want? What are they trying to solve? What are they trying to address?
Right.
The second thing is, you know, I always butcher the Robert Collier quote, but it's something along the lines of getting in the middle of the conversation going on inside the prospect's mind.
Yes.
And that helps to reinforce the yes, you are in the right place if you can demonstrate that.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely. You're supporting their journey versus throwing a roadblock into it. Mm-hmm. You're making them think about how they're going to solve their problems versus making them think about having to sort through these obtuse references. I mean, that's one of the principal UX principles that is fundamentally understood is don't make them think, right? Things need to be intuitive. They just need to get there and be able to scan a headline and go, yep, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. By the way, that's a point that you made. Don't make them think that I constantly have an argument with my business partner on because, you know, for some businesses, we think, well, we want to impress people with how smart we are or how accomplished we are. And we want to use big words and we want to make them jump through hoops or whatever else we want to do to kind of position ourselves.
Right.
And yet, I don't think anybody who would receive that kind of greeting well would be offended by simplicity of messaging or process.
Right. And there's another piece of this. Way back in the day, when I was a young account executive at the advertising agency, I was assigned to the business development team for a period of time. And we were pitching some client. I don't remember the client. And the Silver Fox was the guy who was running the team. And I was young. So up on my high horse about this client's doing this wrong, right? And he said something to me that just knocked me over and stuck. And it's been one of my underlying principles. You can't fix the client's problems until they are in fact the client.
Mm.
So the purpose of the sales process, the purpose of this conversation we've been having about journey is to get them as a client and recognize, like, for example, one of the things I talk about with websites is there needs to be a clear call to action. And that call to action doesn't necessarily mean book of call or, you know, et cetera. It's a larger concept of, inside of your target audience, there are going to be subgroups. Make the path clear for those subgroups. If you're this kind of person, you want to go down this path. You want to click here. If you're this other kind of person, you want to click here. And when they make that action, they take that action and they go to that next page, they're giving you permission to give them more information. So, and they're much more willing to absorb more information. So homepage should be very copy light and very focused on supporting the journey. But when they click through that landing page from that click, can be, that's where you can put your $5 words. That's where you can spend more time explaining, but you're going to explain it in terms relative to the needs of that subgroup. I recently audited the website for a professional public speaker. Mm-hmm. And she had three different audiences. You know, she wanted to book public speaking things, but she had three different audiences. There was the event organizers who were looking for paid keynotes. There were the business executives that were looking for training on how to be more effective public speakers. And there were the HR executives who were looking for a methodology to teach better communication to staff inside their company. It's all under the umbrella of public speaking, but three specific subgroups. So I got her to rework the thing so that those paths were clear, and the landing page underneath each one of those paths was very much focused on that particular audience. And the difference it's made to her has been immense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we all see these, you know, confusing sites out there that if only they gave us the right path and the proper call to action and at the proper mm-hmm. time, it would be so much easier to buy the things we want to buy, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
So we're at the end of our time together, and this is where we insert our call to action for business owners who resonate with what you've been talking about this whole time. There's probably some folks who would like to get in touch with you. How can they do that?
Well, David, thank you for that. If you've resonated with what we've been talking about today and you're wondering to yourself, is my website up to the task? There are six ways to engage a website visitor in 6 seconds or less. I wish that was more time. There really isn't. And so what we do is I can offer to your listeners a free 6 seconds or less website audit. This is normally a value of $500, but for your audience, I'm more than happy to do it for free. And if they go to 6secondsorless.com, that's 6secondsorless.com. They can book time with me. We'll go through their website. We'll talk about some of these principles. We'll, you know, take it apart a little bit and go through, you know, the simple improvements that can be made. And I'll be able to share some of our experience and knowledge with them.
Excellent. That's really cool. It's 6secondsorless.com. Six is spelled out. It's not the number.
Both work.
Ah, both work. Well, I just typed in one to test it. So it's good to know they both work. And I'll make sure to leave that link in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that'd be. I love doing it. I meet so many interesting people as a result of doing this. Everybody, the website is your most important digital asset. Mm-hmm. And it can really work hard against this goal of generating mutual value. But it's not magic. You've got to work at it.
Yep. I totally appreciate it. That working at is what we try to do in marketing all the time. Like, you know, try something out, see if it works. If it doesn't, go back and try something else. James Hipkin, thank you so much for coming back again. I always learn so much when I have the opportunity to hear your thoughts and the way that you think about what some of us will think. Gosh, it's just a website. That's so simple, but there's so much more to it. And you've made that clear in today's conversation. So thank you for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, David. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If you found this conversation useful and you know somebody who could also benefit from it, please, by all means, share it. And I hope to see you back here again on another episode real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.